Hello, welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Christian Hugill, and it's something a little bit different this week. Today we are focusing on what, possibly, the Radio Academy is best known for, the Audio and Radio Industry Awards, aka the ARIAs. They are the Oscars of the radio industry, and they celebrate talented individuals and teams in UK audio and radio who excel at their craft and produce the very best work in the world. Now, you can enter if you're a massive national network or even if you're on a community radio station with a small but perfectly formed audience. And this week, I'm joined by two head judges, Helen Thomas, trustee of the Radio Academy and head of BBC Radio 2, and Phil Riley, chair of the ARIAs, co-founder of Boom Radio, and a man with a radio CV that, if it was laid out, would be taller than me. All right, I'm only 5'9", but still, you get where I'm going with it. If you're entering the ARIAs or even thinking about it, this next 15 minutes or so is for you. We've got an insight into how it all works, the best advice from the best people, and I started with the question on everybody's lips. Okay, maybe just mine, but still.
Let's start with the obvious question. How much bribery are ARIAs judges open to?
Oh, lots, I'm sure. No. I don't think I've ever had even the hint of a bribe in all the years I've been head judge for the ARIAs, and even before that, judging other significant radio awards, sadly.
Well, that's good. Helen, same on your side?
Absolutely. No, this is all about the quality of the content.
Well, that is something we've established good at the start, so I'm happy with that. Phil, let's start with yourself. What are you listening for when you're judging? Now, that's obviously quite a broad question, as there's so many different awards. But yeah, in broad terms, what are you listening for?
Well, we asked the judges to listen for four things. We had three things last year, and we've added a fourth to it. So that's an interesting new development. We asked the judges to give every entry a mark out of 10 on three levels. One is creativity. The second is production value. And the third is impact. Now, we've had those three criteria in place for quite some time, and I think most people who enter over the years know them and know that that's what they're being scored for. We've added a fourth this year, which we just thought would be a useful fourth element, which is how well does it meet the rubric? Because obviously we spend a lot of time writing the rubrics. What is this? What do we want to give this award to? And we think actually we ought to give the judges a chance to say, well, on a mark out of 10, this particular entry wasn't quite as good at meeting the rubric as maybe the one I judged, you know, half an hour ago. So there are four criteria there, and really each of them is important in and of itself, and obviously the overall winners are going to be those that, you know, almost jump all four hurdles really well and get good scores in all of them. I think the one thing I just would like to pick up on there is the production, because sometimes people from smaller companies or indies or whatever who haven't got the same resources as one of the bigger broadcasters might think, oh crikey, my production values aren't as good as Radio 4's or Bowers. We ask the judges to be cognizant of the circumstances of the entry. So we ask them to take account of where the entries come from when they're judging that production score. So, trying to make a more level playing field. It's impossible to be completely level on every single thing, but that's the fourth thing that I think we try and do. So that's the rules-based view. I know Helen will probably have a different view on what she thinks judges are looking for.
That was a brilliant run through the rubric, Phil. In terms of what I am looking for when, you know, I'm a head judge, I am, and I've judged for years before I became a fellow of the Academy, which is how you qualify to be a head judge, a fellow of the Radio Academy or a trustee of the Radio Academy. And really what I'm looking for is just outstanding audio. You know, I am looking for audio that stops me in my tracks, that, you know, either makes me cry with laughter or cry with emotion. I'm looking for real creative ambition, and I'm looking for real connection. I'm looking for an entry where which clearly demonstrates that this particular program or this particular presenter really know how to connect with their audience. It's really, you know, you people spend a lot of time putting their ARIA's entries together, and people spend a lot of time on the written submission, which I'm sure we'll get to. But really, if your audio entry isn't top, it's that that really matters. It's that where you need to put all your effort into crafting a really beautiful entry that gives tells a great story or gives a fantastic demonstration of the brilliant work that you've been doing all year.
Yeah, and I would just pick up on that with a couple of points. One is, it's fairly obvious to a lot of people, but maybe for some people, they don't quite grasp it. The audio entries that you put in your overall entry, you can have up to 10 different clips within an entry, that they don't have to be in chronological order, which means put your best bit first, right? If you're going to put a compilation of bits of a show together and you're crafting it, well, craft it so that you're that most impactful bit of audio you've got. You don't leave it until minute 12 of the entry. Put it right at the outset so that people are blown away right at the beginning, because that's undoubtedly one of the most powerful things that you can do. And you mentioned the storytelling aspect, Helen, and I think that's a very important thing too. You're telling a story, so make sure the entry tells a story, and that is one area where the written submission can help, because sometimes you've got brilliant audio but you don't quite understand the context of it. That's where the written element of the entry, both the notes to the clips and the written submission itself, can help explain the entry, put it in context, because it's context that will undoubtedly help sway people.
I'm guessing that's particularly important, Phil, if you haven't put it necessarily in chronological order. You've got that written entry to fall back on to sort of explain yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's new categories this year as well. Best audiobook, Community Radio Station of the Year, and the 2022 Special Award following the death of Her Majesty the Queen. Helen, does that change anything at all with new categories? Do judges, whether there are older categories, look back on previous entries, or are every category based sort of as they're found this year? Is anything ever pulled from previous years to sort of, you know, contextualise?
No, absolutely not. What the no judge judges the same award, you know, in consecutive years. Like, the Radio Academy work really hard at which head judge is selected for which category, and then which the makeup of the judging panel around that. So the Radio Academy can see, and that's not me, but I hasten to add, that's not me. That's the Radio Academy kind of executive. They look and they can, they've got a massive spreadsheet with who's judged which entry the previous year, and they ensure that they don't judge the same entry the following year, and we ensure that our judging panels have a really good mix of gender and ethnic representation, and all aspects of diversity within the makeup of that judging panel, and people at different stages in their career as well. You know, the new categories coming in, that they will be judged by a completely new panel, as will all the returning categories.
Yeah, and it's fair to say, as Helen just said there, age, we try and get an age balance as well as sex and as well as ethnic mix. So we try and do all of that. It's not possible to do everything perfectly in one award judging panel, but across the board, we think we do pretty well. It's probably worth picking up the entries that, as you say, there's some new ones this year and some returning ones. Every year we try and reflect the difference of how people are broadcasting and why they're broadcasting and who they're broadcasting to. And I think that's reflected in bringing in a community radio category this year. And obviously the death of the Queen was such a huge thing, and it impacted on so many stations in so many ways that we felt it appropriate to reflect that too.
Phil, I suppose there'll be a lot of people who regularly listen to the Radio Academy podcast who are, well, I know there are, who are new to the industry. that shouldn't put people off entering who, you know, as you say, who are newer and work on a smaller scale than, say, Radio 2 or, you know, Absolute Radio. Just because you're not working for a national giant juggernaut shouldn't put you off entering. If you're publishing audio, this can be for you, can't it?
Absolutely. And every year when you see the awards winners, it is a mix of the biggies and the smallest. There's absolutely no barrier to anybody entering. So you definitely should. But the one thing I would say, particularly with new entrants, people that haven't maybe done it before, is read the rubric. It's my number one rule in life is read the rubric. We take a great deal of care and time to craft the rubrics so that they really reflect what we're trying to get at in terms of the entries and the winning entry. And quite often, entrants just don't look at the time length, or they don't look at one or two other obvious hurdles that they need to clear in terms of the type of entry, and rule themselves out for no good reason. So read the rubric is almost the number one rule here. If you want to win an ARIA, you've got to be in at the end. You've got to be in when they're making that final judging call, and that requires you to not fall foul of the rubric.
You've reminded me of going in for exams at school, where before you go in and you stood outside the hall and your teachers would say, read the question, for goodness sake, read the question. And of course, by the rubric, you mean basically the words next to the sort of, you know, for example, best new presenter, the judges are looking for this, this and this. Read that before you start editing is fantastic advice. Yeah. Helen, can you think of any entries in the past that you know, that you may have won, may have been nominated, whatever, that you've particularly loved, particular favourites down the years that might be able to draw people that little bit of inspiration listening?
Wow. I mean, there have been so many. So obviously, as someone who works in music radio, the categories that I am given to judge, I've never judged a music radio category myself. I tend to get categories, in an area where there's no conflict, which is also something that's really important to say around the allocation of which head judge and which judges are allocated to which panels. But I remember a few years ago, I happened to be judging the Breaking News Coverage Award, and it was the year of the Manchester bombing and Grenfell. And I remember listening to all, you know, pretty much all those entries that were submitted in that category. And I was just in tears. You know, I dedicated an entire weekend to Aria's listening, and I spent the entire weekend in tears, but so moved and proud of this amazing industry that we work in.
Us news lot have been busy in recent years, Helen. Trust me, there's been a lot going on.
There certainly has. And you are delivering amazing content for audiences.
On behalf of the news industry, which is something I've not said before, thank you, Helen. I shall pass it on.
I was just going to say, as a slight tangent to that, the category I most enjoy listening to every year, the Outstanding Moments category, the 10 that we actually put out to a public vote via the Radio Times, because some of the audio, and there they tend to be, don't they, short clips of maybe 30, 60, 90 seconds just capturing something. They can be some of the most remarkable pieces of audio you've ever heard. And the fact that the UK radio industry can produce dozens of these every year, year in, year out, is really testament to the work that everybody does.
There's nothing quite like radio, is there? And we're biased on this.
Christine,
podcast,
I did want to just pick up, you talked about size there, and it is worth saying that the one thing that we've done again new this year is to expand the pool system. So we have a pool system where at the first tranche of judging, all the BBC entries are judged together, all the commercial and community radio entries are judged together, and up until this year, we'd also had all the podcast, independent podcast entries being judged alongside commercial and community. And we just felt that we were just being delivered so much audio in that particular pool that we felt we needed to split that out into two. So we now have three pools, the BBC, commercial and community, and a third pool, which is for independent podcasters. And that means that all three of those pools get judged independently by the judges. They give scores to every entry that they're given, and then we take the best of all of those pools forward to that final judging round. So even if you're a small independent podcaster, you know, you've got a very good chance of being recognised if you put a really good entry in, because in that first instance, you're filtered to be just compared to other people in the same sort of situation as you are, rather than directly, right from the outset, being judged against one of the big broadcasters.
Well, this has been 15 minutes of golden information. However, I'm going to push you for one more little bit each. If you were to say one golden rule for people listening to this who are putting an Arias entry together, what would it be? We'll start with you, Phil, and you're not allowed to say read the rubrics, because I think we've ticked that box. You've got to do another one.
Okay. My final golden rule would be get somebody else to have a listen to your entry and read the document that's going to go in with it before you send it in. You can work night and day and get so focused on something that maybe sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees. And somebody else giving you a bit of advice who's disinterested, not uninterested, disinterested, might very well be the difference between passing and failing. They might very well say, why don't you just move this? Why don't you lose that? Why don't you amplify this? So I think getting an external person to listen to your entry before you submit it is a really great idea.
That is excellent advice. And Helen?
Yeah, that is really brilliant advice, Phil. I would say, can I have two?
Yeah, go on. I'm feeling okay. Very generous. Why not?
So the first one is something that we've already talked about, which is put your best bit first, right? We've already mentioned that. The judges can be listening to up to 40 submissions or beyond 40. I think last year I listened to about 48 in total in the first phase of sifting. So make sure you need your entry to stand out amongst all the other entries in the category. So as we've said before, put your best stuff right at the top. And my second piece of advice was get started early. Do not leave it until the week before the deadline, the submission deadline, because you'll get so stressed. And certainly I know from entries that I've put together in the past, they go through several iterations before we finally press submit. That we're all happy and, yeah, we think this is the best representation of whatever it might be. And then we press submit. So get started early. Do not leave it till the last minute.
Golden advice from Phil and Helen. Thank you very much to them. Entries are open until the 7th of February, 2023. Head to radioacademy.org/Arias, A-R-I-A-S, for all the information you need. Good luck. And while you're on the website, do have a look at all the juicy benefits of being a Radio Academy member. You get great content like that, all for just a few quid a month. Now, two more Radio Academy podcasts from me before I hand over the presenting reins to a shiny new host. I will introduce you to her in a couple of weeks. My final episode is on February the 1st, when we go behind the scenes of one of the podcast success stories. And next week, we take a look at a properly fascinating project. I loved recording it. The Life After Prison podcast is brilliant. I look forward to speaking to you then. Bye for now.